From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the Holy Spirit as he brings the next portion of a message dealing with the work of the Spirit in the ministry of Christ. We've seen that the Holy Spirit was deeply involved in the Incarnation. Furthermore, the Bible makes it clear that Christ was indwelt by the Holy Spirit, so that every communication between Christ's humanity and his deity was through the Spirit. Then, it was at Christ's baptism that he began his earthly ministry. Here again, the Holy Spirit was present and active, both to demonstrate Christ's purity and to prove the validity of Christ's messiahship. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns answers the question, what does the Bible mean when it says, call no man father? This is an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, found in video format on our website, ltbsradio.com.
In Matthew chapter 23, the Lord Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes, and who he said sat in Moses' seat. They were teachers, but they were arrogating to themselves certain positions that were unbiblical. And he says, call no man father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Christ. The question is, how can it be said, call no man father? Do we not have fathers after the flesh? Are we not supposed to honor our father and our mother? Does Paul not say that you're my children, I've begotten you in the gospel? So is he not therefore their father? Does he not say ye have not many fathers? Does John the Apostle not write in his first epistle to the fathers? Yes, he does. And Jesus isn't saying that a son is not to recognize his father or call him father. Nor is he saying that we can't speak, say, of the founding fathers of America or the founding fathers of a Presbyterian or a Baptist church or whatever. Nor is he saying that men who see people saved are not, as Paul said, those who beget them in the gospel, their spiritual fathers. What he's talking about here is strictly calling people father and master in a religious connection. He's speaking about people coming between us and our God. Spiritually, we have one Father. Spiritually, we have one Master. And there is no Father, in a religious sense, to come between us and our God. There is no Master to come between our conscience and our Christ. He is the only Lord and Master of our conscience. So this is the context in which the Lord Jesus is speaking. You think, for example, of the great controversy that Protestants have always had with the Church of Rome. The Church of Rome calls its priests Father, calls the Pope the Holy Father. Well, there are certain things that we as Protestants find very, very objectionable about that. First of all, the New Testament knows nothing of a ministerial class called priests. All Christians are priests, the priesthood of all believers, so we object to that. When you make a priest or a minister a father in this sense, it's not because he has founded the church, it's not because he's your earthly father, it's simply a religious term that's in complete contravention to what Christ says here in Matthew 23. It's putting a man, a priest, between you and God. And the Bible does not allow that. It's giving him an authority because of his position over your conscience that the Bible does not allow. The term Holy Father, as given to the Pope, is even more objectionable. Holy Father is a unique title of God the Father, and it is used by only one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else in Scripture addresses God as Holy Father, only the Son of God manifested in the flesh. Now, for that unique title to be taken by any man on earth is nothing short of blasphemy. That's the title of the Father himself, given only and used only by his Son as he walked this earth. So that is objectionable. Call no man Father in that religious sense. Certainly in every other natural sense, the Lord Jesus is not prohibiting the use of the term, and indeed he is not prohibiting us from honoring the office of fatherhood among men. The very farthest thing from his mind. What he is guarding is that you don't let any man, be he pope or priest or preacher or pastor or anybody, don't let any man stand between you and God. You may learn from men, but you may and must subject everything every man says to the Word of God, to the law, and to the testimony. This is where we stand or fall, and only God, His Christ, revealed in His Word, can be the Lord of the conscience of a Christian.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. The upcoming edition will be focusing on the great 1859 revival which took place in Ulster. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's LTBS@FREEPRES.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
A miracle in which from the moment of its inception this human nature was assumed by the Son of God into personal union with himself in a way that I can't explain, nor nobody else can explain. Though it's true that from that very moment of its inception this human nature was never a distinct person, it never had any personal existence or separate existence except in union with the Son of God. And while it's true that thereby this human nature was greatly exalted, could I say the forerunner of the exaltation of all the sons of Adam who are found in Christ? While that's true, nonetheless, remember the old doctrine of the person of Christ taught in Scripture and established in very clear theological teachings through many centuries of church history. It's called the Chalcedon Statement of Christ's person. Remember this, that the human nature of Christ was never deified, and the divine nature of Christ was never humanized. There was no mingling, there was no confusion, there was union in one person. But the human nature of Jesus Christ did not become in itself omnipotent, omnipresent, infinite, eternal, etc. These are attributes of deity. So the incarnation didn't deify the human nature. Watch something carefully when you read the Bible. You'll find that everything that the Lord Jesus did, he did by the Spirit. One great writer on the subject of the Holy Spirit said, nothing was undertaken but by the Spirit's direction, nothing spoken but by His guidance, nothing executed but by His power. Now let that sink in. Remember, this is the God-man. And yet, as He walked this earth, He did not act merely by virtue of the fact that He was God in union with a human nature. No, what He did and said was all dependent on the indwelling and infilling Spirit of God. Now that leads me to make a statement that you'll have to think out. I dare say you've never heard it in your life before. So be it. I've never heard anybody say it from the pulpit either, so we're all in the same boat. But I'm going to say it anyway. I think that it may help us to understand this mystery of the indwelling Spirit of God. It would appear to me, since Jesus Christ depended on the Holy Spirit for every word He spoke, every step He took, and every work that He did, that every communication from Christ's divine nature to His human nature was by the Holy Spirit. Or as that same old writer put it, the Holy Spirit is, in some mysterious way, the link of communication between the two. I'll sum it up this way, that having formed the sinless humanity of Christ, the Holy Spirit supervised its physical, mental, and spiritual growth, guaranteeing such manifestations of the divine glory and power of the incarnate God as the Spirit in His wisdom deemed proper to the development of the man, Christ Jesus. Now that's a big statement. It would be the subject of a theological lecture rather than just a statement in a sermon. But I want you to think of it. You see, when you read some of the apocryphal Gospels, when you hear some of the fables of the Church of Rome, for instance, you'll be told stories of prodigious miracles that the baby Jesus did. You know, the Scripture's completely silent in these things. The incarnation was a miracle. But yet God did not create any monstrosity. It was a true babe that was born in Bethlehem. It was a true growth that babe underwent. Oh, He was always kept sinless and perfect. Absolutely so. But according to His development and according to the plan and purpose of God, the Spirit in His wisdom decreed the extent of the manifestation of the power and the glory of His eternal deity. He indwelt Christ absolutely. The third area of the Spirit's work in the ministry of Christ is in the baptism. Matthew 3:16-17 takes this up, as does Luke 3:21-22. Let's read in Luke, since that's where our Bibles opened. At when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. What a beautiful example of the working of the Trinity. The Son of God was the baptized one. The Father was the baptizer. And the Holy Spirit, if I could use the word reverently, was the element in which He was baptized. The Spirit came upon Him. And this is the official opening of the public ministry of Jesus Christ. That in itself throws out the window all the Romish fables about a ministry that Christ exercised from His cradle, etc. This is the beginning of the public ministry of Christ. And the Holy Ghost comes upon Him. Now, I have only time just to skate right over this. What does it prove? Number one, it proved the purity of Christ's person. He came, Matthew tells us, and Luke tells us, in the shape of a dove. Does that remind you of something? Do you remember back in Genesis chapter 8, after the flood, Noah sent out a dove? And the dove could find no place for the sole of her foot to rest upon, and she returned to the ark. What a picture! That in a world under the curse and the condemnation and the wrath of a sin-hating God, the Holy Spirit could not find a man,
upon whom he could dwell and rest because of the virtue of that man's own person. There was not a genius. There was not a religious reformer. There was not a person in the world who, by virtue of his own merit, could have the measureless fullness of the Spirit of God. But here we have, at the baptism of Christ, the holy dove from heaven, and he comes, and in all his immeasurable fullness, he rests on Jesus Christ. God's indication of the absolute sinlessness of Christ, the separateness of Jesus Christ, every other person upon whom the Spirit ever came or will come, is because of the merit of Christ. Christ received the Spirit because of who he was in himself, because of his own perfect purity. What a testimony to his purity. But it proved something else. It proved the validity of Christ's Messiahship. We turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 1, and here we have verse 33, the words of John the Baptist, "I knew him not, but he that sent me," by the way, notice the importance of those words, "I knew him not." John was a relative, as it were, of Jesus Christ. But he says here at the very beginning of Christ's public ministry, I never knew he was the Messiah. I knew him not. Again, that will tell you how little you can believe the Romish fables about all the messianic miracles that the baby Jesus did. John says, "I knew him not." But watch it carefully. "But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Here you have the proof of Christ as the Son of God and the Messiah. We read in Isaiah 42 verse 1 where the Father says that he will send his Spirit upon his servant. By the way, the servant in that entire section of Isaiah from chapter 40 onwards, the servant is preeminently Jesus Christ. 42:1, God promises to send the Spirit upon his servant. Isaiah 61, we read the words of the Messiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach." The Lord Jesus read those very words and made them his own in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. At the very first sermon that he ever preached, the first time he opened the scriptures as a teacher in the synagogue, he opened them at Luke 4, according to Luke 4 and 18, he opened them at Isaiah 61, and he read those words, and he says, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Jesus Christ, the fulfillment, because the Spirit coming upon him is the proof of his Messiahship. Then follow him from his baptism. And since we're in Luke, let's stay in Luke here. It's also found in Matthew. Follow him from his baptism straight to his temptation. Luke 4 verse 1. "Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Let me stop for a practical observation. Notice the order of the words. Full of the Holy Ghost, led by the Holy Ghost. Believer, you will not know the leading of the Holy Ghost living in a carnal, worldly, self-filled fashion. It is only as one is full of the Holy Ghost. I'll deal with that a little later when we proceed in our studies in the person and work of the Spirit. Ephesians 5 would give us the idea of dwelling full, existing under the continual control of the Spirit of God, Only when one is full and controlled by the Spirit of God can one then be led by the Spirit of God. It's a tragedy that there are so many Christians and they want the leading of the Spirit, the discernment of the Spirit, the blessings that come from these things, while all the time walking in an unspiritual fashion. It cannot be. He was full of the Holy Ghost, and he was led by the Spirit. And notice where he was led. Into the wilderness. If I were to believe the nonsense of the modern charismatics, at least the popular TV brand of them, I would have to say that that was a mistake. Because surely if you're full of the Holy Ghost, and if you're led of the Holy Ghost, you'll always be on the mountaintop. You'll always be smiling. You'll always be singing. You'll always be rich. You'll always be making millions of dollars. You'll always be this, that, and the other thing. But the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. Led by the Spirit into his temptation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.